Postscript. We didn't do better. What a difference 2 years can make. I turned in the full manuscript for this book on October 15, 2015. That was back in the days when our government wasn't crumbling before our eyes and we were led by someone who could spell and read and who didn't act like a petulant toddler. I miss those days of yore. Those were the times that prompted me to write this book. When I set out to write I'm Judging You, I wanted to create something that was both timely and timeless. But I didn't know how timely this book would be until we, the people of the United States, elected a walking Cheeto to the highest office in the land on November 8, 2016. Back then, I didn't think I'd need to fight the air every time I heard the president's name, and I didn't wake up in cold sweats wondering what war we've been tweeted into. When I wrote the chapters Racism is for Assholes and The Privilege Principle, I had no clue that Nazis were going to make a surging comeback and take to the streets of Charlottesville holding tiki torches. That is so Germany 1938. But that's what happens when a squirrel wig-wearing subpar white dude bro ends up in the most powerful position in the country and spends his entire time in campaign and in office sending racist dog whistles to his base of deplorables. Habanero Hitler has ushered in an era when members of the KKK are feeling confident enough to leave their robes and hoods at home. When I wrote the Rape Culture is Real and It Sucks chapter, I didn't realize that this country would elect the walking embodiment of rape culture as its president. The man who, weeks before Election Day, was caught on tape talking about how he wanted to grab a woman by her vagina. That man became the leader of the free world. How the fuck did we get here? When I wrote that chapter on how nobody wins at the Feminism Olympics, I didn't know that 53% of white women would vote for a man who thinks we belong in kitchens only. Many of these white women, I'm sure, consider themselves feminists, but they only fight for those who look like them. In contrast, 94% of the black women who voted cast their ballot for Hillary because we showed up, we showed out, we always do, we always do. Yet we're supposed to be under the same feminism umbrella? It's tough. White women have been shielded from culpability all their lives and through history and have been able to move in the system of oppression without getting blamed when they have been active participants in the denigration of people of color and marginalized people. They have been the damsel in distress even as they've been the source of chaos. But still, they are protected above other women because the way racism is set up, folks have been convinced that white women are the default in womanhood. And part of what comes with that is that they haven't learned to trust themselves. They didn't trust Hillary Clinton to lead because they didn't trust themselves to lead. But rah-rah feminism, right? The numbers say, wrong. Nothing is as determined as a desperate white man who feels like he's losing his position in the web of oppression he created. But nothing is sadder than the woman who is bought into her own subjugation. When I wrote the chapter on Homophobia is Gay, I couldn't have known that transgender servicemen and women would be banned from fighting for their country because apparently their medical care makes them too much of a burden. That was according to the dust bucket in chief. Even though more money is spent on Viagra for servicemen than for any medical expenses trans people incur. Oh, and his vice president seems to think that gay people just need a good electrocution to be set straight. The Dreamsicle Demon administration is like a comic book about villains with no redeeming value, the kind that critics would call zero-dimensional and lambast for being so cartoonish. When I wrote the chapter, hashtag fix it Jesus, hashtag binded Buddha, hashtag amended Allah, I didn't know there would be a spike in attacks on mosques because people have been told by Toupee Fiasco that Muslims are terrorists. There has been an increase in hate crimes against people who practice Islam in the United States because the fire has been stoked, and white terrorists are preying on people simply because of their religion. And of course, we can't forget the Muslim travel ban, separating families and keeping people from certain countries from entering the United States. This is where we are now. When I wrote the chapter, For Shame, Get Some E-Behavior, I didn't know the person with nuclear codes would be the one who constantly shows his ass online. Pantone Beelzebub announces unvetted and often unconstitutional policies on his Twitter before talking to his advisors and retweets white supremacist groups who are spreading lies. I wonder if our kids will get a test question in 2045. How did World War III start? Correct answer? Because President Trump called someone's mama a bitch on Twitter. Cantaloupe Caillou needs to have all his passwords changed and his phone revoked because his lack of impulse control is probably DSM-5 diagnosable. When I wrote the chapter on dumbed down news, I surely wasn't privy to how the spread of fake news as fact would help in such a concrete way to elect the Fanta fascist into office. The people who voted for him did so having read untrue things about his opponent and untrue things about his accomplishments. And he adopted fake news as a random call to arms whenever he disagrees with someone or something. Just because you yell fake news does not mean it's not real, mop bucket. God damn it, I'm mad that happened and we have a whole country of people with no discernment. When I wrote the entire section on fame, I just wasn't expecting that Cheese Whiz would rise to this level of prominence. A shell of a man who requires his staff to give him twice daily reports on positive news of himself. The one who admits he doesn't read books but checks Twitter first thing in the morning so he can see how many likes he gets. The one who has turned the highest office of the land into a never-ending season of The Apprentice. I did not anticipate our president would be starring in a reality TV show while he was sitting in the Oval Office. But here we are, right? Then there's my urge to folks to do something that matters. As democracy crumbles in front of our faces, people who are in power and who have the ability to stop this, especially the Republican Party, are being punk asses. Coward feels like too kind a word to use for people who are allowing the empire to fall so spectacularly as they choose party over country. They're covering their own asses as we near constitutional crises each and every day. It wasn't until white supremacists were spraying swastikas and doing Nazi chants that previously quiet people decided to speak up, and they get no props from me for that. It's not hard to denounce terrorism, but what about the everyday racism that leads to it? What about the everyday microaggressions that lead to mega belligerence that then becomes mosque burnings and hate crimes? Where are the people when teachers have to grade essays objectively for kids who have skin that makes them wince? Where is your voice when loan officers who have to read applications see the name Tyrone and think, nah, he shouldn't own property? Where is your outrage about the cops who make routine traffic stops and feel their lives are in danger strictly because the person behind the wheel is black? It's nowhere to be found. I have no love for those who consider themselves good people, but stand idly by as the world crumbles around them. It's not enough to personally not do damage. If you're present as someone else destroys what's around you and you do nothing, you helped them. And there's a bunch of do-nothing-ass white folks sitting around today stunned. Everyone lets themselves off the hook by saying, well, it wasn't me who did it, but you were there. What did you do to stop it? You sleep better at night knowing it wasn't you who made those racist, homophobic, Islamophobic jokes, but you were there when they happened. Mandarin Orange Mugabe and his ascent to power are a direct result of white fragility, white male mediocrity flourishing, privilege, and desperation. He and the hapless hoodlums of the Republican Party, who allowed his elevation because they were butthurt about a black man running this country for 8 years, should be loudly lambasted. We all read our history books and marvel at how Hitler was allowed to do what he did in Germany. Things don't go from good to gas chambers in a day. It's those days in between that get progressively worse, that get us ready to be doused in gasoline. Why? We've been showered in bleach to get us ready. The man who has threatened to build a wall to keep Mexicans out and ban Muslims and sexually assault women, that man won the presidency. Nearly 63 million people hailed his message as right. And to be honest, I don't wish those 59 million people well. May their paper cuts be deep and plentiful and unable to be located. May they always step on Legos in the middle of the night. May their knees hit the sharp edge of the bed every day. May popcorn get stuck in their teeth and no amount of flossing dislodge it. May they get charged fees and not be able to figure out why. May their phones never hold battery charge. May their computers crash often and their data backups fail. May their pizza always burn the roofs of their mouths. May they need root canals frequently. Petty prayers are necessary for times like this. I do know that if Coral Baby Hands blows us all up before I get to see the ending of Game of Thrones, we gonna need to knock on Satan's door and ask him to tell Minute Maid Mao to step outside so he can receive a heavenly ass-whooping in hell. After we've received permission from St. Peter so we can come back into them glorious golden gates. Lemonhead Elect is the beast with no neck that the Book of Revelation predicted. I just knowed it. Pandora's box has been opened. We are in the doorway of hell, and the beast with no neck has started something that might not end on November 3, 2020 at 11:59 p.m. He has created a resurgence of hate in this country. It is so strong that there are rumblings of mass hysteria created by crybaby-ass demagogues who are feeling the desperation of losing control. I wanted this book to be timely, but I wish it wasn't so relevant because it means that we're failing on massive scales. And it's the collective we. I don't claim those hateful douchebags, nor do I want to unite with them on any level, because we do not go together. I could write another whole book called I'm Judging You, America. I still might. Who knows? But this dumpster fire we find ourselves in feels wholly unnecessary. It feels like it could have been avoided, but maybe not. Maybe it is necessary. This feels like a reckoning. I live in America, a country where a racist, xenophobic, homophobic, hate-mongering reality TV star can go up against the most qualified person to ever run for office and win. A country where a hapless idiot of a man can share a stage with a woman who has spent 30 years in public service competing for the same job and win. Land of the fuckboys, home of the ridiculous. When I was writing this book, I wrote the best book I could, talking about the things that grind my gears about the world and how we all need to do better. It was my manifesto and the thing that 13 years of writing led to. I wrote this book with the intention of creating something that would last longer than I would. Thank you for listening to it. Thank you for taking the words in. And thank you for committing yourself to being less shitty. If you don't take anything else away from this, walk away with that. Acknowledgements.